Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome to today's program Chris Timmer, who is Chief Commercial Officer at Lean Logistics. And today we're going to talk about using actionable intelligence to unlock hidden savings in your supply chain. Now, you know, many companies that I talk to, I think a lot of folks feel and know that they're leaving money on the table in their various supply chain logistics operations, and particularly in transportation management. And the question is, you know, how do we uncover those opportunities? How do we find them? And then how do we go about, you know, realizing those benefits? And that's where actionable intelligence comes in. But of course, the question then becomes, what exactly is actionable intelligence? How do you go about enabling it? You know, what role does technology play in all this? And certainly those are some of the questions that we're going to, you know, kind of explore today with Chris. You know, Chris has been on the program before, and certainly it's great to welcome him back and, you know, really dive into some of these questions and start the conversation, get the conversation going on actionable intelligence and why it's so important today. I just want to remind those of you that are joining us live today that, you know, part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you do have a question for Chris as we're having our conversation here, you can do so via the chat function. And you have to be watching this via the YouTube events page in order to be able to do that. So with that, Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Adrian. Glad to be here.
So Chris, you know, you and I just came back from, you know, the CSCMP conference this year. So I know that, you know, attending the various sessions there, you know, one of the recurring themes you hear year in and year out is, you know, visibility, right? You hear about business intelligence, analytics, the need to make smarter decisions faster. These are all, you know, themes that you hear over and over again in the various sessions, certainly that I attended, and I think in a lot of the conversations that I heard. And I think that it all relates to kind of what we're going to talk about here, you know, with actionable intelligence. So let's start with kind of like a basic, you know, question. You know, what is, you know, actionable intelligence, and is it related to kind of all the buzz that we're hearing these days around business intelligence and analytics?
Sure. Yeah, it's, you know, you hear something like actionable intelligence and you think, wow, that sounds kind of out there, right? You know, AI, you know, and so when you think about kind of today's supply chain, the biggest challenges we see are just the things that you had talked about, right? I need better information. I need data. I need the ability to compete more effectively. All the challenges, the velocity by which, you know, the supply chains are managed today is very, very significant. And, you know, as a technology and services provider, you know, you're always looking for how is it that you are providing capabilities for the environment that's to come as well as the environment today. So, you know, we use terms like actionable intelligence because we're really trying to make a supply chain smarter by the things that we develop. The business processes, you know, software in the supply chain originally was developed around optimizing business process. And that's great. And there's a ton of software that does that. But at some point in time, after you've optimized your process, how well do you know that your process is still optimized, right? So what are the indicators that tell me that I'm doing well, what I don't do well? So in a single instance, multi-tenant environment like Lean has, we've got a network that's roughly about $14 billion worth of global transportation spend transacted through the network. That provides data, that provides information, that provides connectivity, that provides a number of things that in its existence can provide value back to the ecosystem that is developed with it. So as we looked at, we have evolved over the years in helping our customers get where they need to be. We developed this process internally with what we call actionable intelligence. And really it starts with data, right? So we have all the data. You have a shipper or a manufacturer or a retailer has data that they're managing today that looks specifically at their business. As that data is utilized and as they're trying to evaluate it, the question becomes, what is it telling me, right? So what it tells you is what you need to do moving forward in managing your business. So as you look at the data is only as good as what you can do with it. And that's a learning that we've had over the last 17 years, evolving technologies and leveraging this massive, massive network that we have. And so as we've looked at the data and said, okay, we need to do something with this, developing out the capabilities, the BI capabilities, the analytics capabilities, is really kind of the next phase of that. So there's really a four-stage, we look at this as a four-stage cycle of actionable intelligence. It starts with the data, and the data is everything that you have, both not only just information, financial data, some metrics that you, standard metrics that you have, but it's related to the behaviors of your supply chain as well. How does it behave? How does it act on its own as its own ecosystem? And then you layer that against our ecosystem as well. And it provides a plethora of information for us to try to do something with. So now you have to have the analytics. You have to have the analytical capabilities, both internally as well as the technology to do it. So you have the data, you have the analytics. The third phase of the actionable intelligence cycle is then design. So it really goes back to, I've got data, I can analyze it, I got to do something with it. It's got to tell me something about what's happening in my supply chain. And then I've got to determine what is it that I either have to redesign, I'm doing well, I think this is right, or you know what, we have some gaps, we've had some evolution here, and we need to redesign. Once you redesign, then obviously the last phase of the actionable intelligence cycle is the execution phase. I got to put rubber to the road, I got to do it, and I got to execute against it. And as I'm executing against it, I have the right metrics, I'm looking for the right behaviors, I'm looking how this effect that these new designs have on my supply chain. Well, that's where the data comes back into play, right? So now I evaluate what I've done, the changes I've made, the evolutions that I've made, and it goes back into my data set and we start the cycle all over again. Time and time again, what we found with our customer base is if they deploy this mentality of developing actionable intelligence, they'll continue to refine their business and tweak the things that they need to tweak to make sure that they're at the level they need to be. Ultimately, our objective, and I think our customers' objective, because they shared this with us, is that they want to be smarter today than they were yesterday. The only way to be smarter today, or tomorrow, than you are today, is to have greater wisdom and discernment around what it is that's happening in your supply chain, so that you can make the right changes to it, or the evolution, or keep the status quo if that's what's really delivering the value. Ultimately, you know, the customers are looking for that the ultimate cost service balance to really run an efficient operation. And in doing that, actionable intelligence drives a significant amount of value for them as a business process to deploy.
You know, a lot of interesting points there, Chris. Food for thought. I mean, one of the things that kind of struck me as you were talking there was, you know, a lot of times I think a lot of companies, when they think about something like actionable intelligence, that term, or even business intelligence, you know, they immediately gravitate toward technology, right? Okay, we need a tool, we need a dashboard, we need a tool, you know, some way to kind of look at the data. I think what you're suggesting here is obviously that, you know, you got to think of it, you know, technology is important, and I want to explore the role of technology a little bit later in our conversation, but, you know, you really got to, put it in the context of an ongoing business process, right? So it's not just something that is, you know, just you put in a piece of software and you're done type of thing. So I think this concept of a process, I think, is important, that it's really, you know, something that's continuous and something that's ongoing. It needs to be ongoing, and it's got a feedback loop and mechanism to it. So kind of defining what that process looks like, I think, is important. And I think the other thing I think that's important, that's part of this, and I think you kind of touched upon a little bit, was you need to put, collecting data is, there's this challenges associated with it, to begin with, but data by itself is kind of limited in value. You really have to put it in the proper context, right? I mean, so I would view that as part of what's required to kind of put actionable intelligence in to get the full effect out of intelligence, correct?
Exactly. When you think about just, say, transportation data, right? Transportation data, that's effective only for the transportation group. But the reality is transportation behaviors, transportation capabilities, the things that happen through the course of managing transport affects upstream and downstream quite a bit. So what is the grand context of how this performance is affecting my supply chain? And based on that, am I asking the right questions about what I should be doing, as opposed to defining metrics about what I was doing?
Yeah, no, I think I like that, because I think, I think part of this process really is asking those questions, right? And it's not only about asking questions related to okay, what's going wrong, right? Or you know, how can we, you know, why are things trending in the wrong direction? And those are important questions to ask and part of the process here. But it's also putting the data and information in the context of, you know, where do we want to go, right? And what right. what's the road ahead look like, and kind of understanding how the data that's coming in can help inform, you know, your future strategy. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, you know, this sounds great, right? So the obvious question is, well, why haven't companies been doing this, you know, all along, right? So I think there's obviously been some hurdles in the past to truly enabling, you know, actionable intelligence. So I mean, what have been some of the, if you will, historical hurdles to enabling this, and which ones have been overcome and which ones still exist, and how do you get over them?
Sure. That's a really good question, because if you look at kind of the overall, somebody's overall supply chain and how do I manage it? Take again, transportation as an example of that. Transportation by its nature is an execution arm of the supply chain, right? So the nature of individuals in transportation can largely be executional in nature. So one of the hurdles is can I think more strategically about how the grand context pulls together? So there's, you know, I'd say the first one is kind of the mentality, right? The mentality of, well, we do what we do and we have the lowest cost. Customers will come and they'll say, well, we have the best rates in the industry. Well, that tells me nothing about your supply chain. And that tells me nothing about your supply chain performance. What it tells me is you know how to negotiate. And negotiation isn't managing a supply chain. And you know, it's in the context of how I'm balancing both my carrier and my cost and my service levels and what's working in that, understanding all of those capabilities is really how you truly manage that. So one is the desire and the capabilities of doing it. The other is time. You know, especially in today's environment, things happen so quickly, and there's such a fungibility to the whole process within supply chain that it makes it difficult to stop and really, unless you have a process in place, stop and take a look at things and put them in the right context in the measurement of success as an organization. Again, every single supply chain is looking at it, or I say transportation group looks at things from a cost and service perspective, this happy balance between the two. If I'm just managing that though, I'm not looking at the grand scheme of what's happening across my supply chain. The other is knowing what I'm trying to ask. So I think a hurdle is that I've asked all these questions and I know what I need to manage, as opposed to what is out there that I'm not asking myself that I need to truly understand how I get better at what I do. You know, I think it's a continuous improvement mentality that they have. And then the final is I don't have a platform or I don't have technology to be able to obtain the data that I can then do something with it, or the resources to even evaluate it. And I think that's an element here that's a key driver within supply chain. I've been in this industry since 1991. And, you know, the level of skill set and the level of capabilities that are necessary for today's supply chain professional is vastly different than it was when we started in 1991. And so the mentality of it is very different. And having those resources to effectively do it it can be a hurdle at times as well.
Yeah, no, great point. And, you know, both you and I back in 1991 had full head of hair and, you know, nice brown hair. And now look at us, you know, as a result of everything that continues to happen in the industry. But you know, joking aside, I think, you know, you brought up some great points there. And I guess to kind of paraphrase a little bit, I mean, it sounds to me that one obviously is, you know, the classic change management, right? And, you know, you need that kind of upper management support and drive, right, to kind of empower, you know, the supply chain organization and, you know, even down to transportation specifically, to really, you know, broaden the perspective beyond the, you know, the cost and service, you know, right. Balance, which is important, but it's not it's not the only thing that needs to be focused on. I think a good example of those, you know, you don't know what you don't know, and, you know, what kind of questions to ask. I think that's underpins. From a risk management standpoint, I think one of the leading companies that I see that are kind of pointing the way forward with actionable intelligence, are putting a risk management lens to their supply chain and transportation operations, yeah. right? And I think that's an example of actionable intelligence in actions, because you don't know, you got to ask those questions. What if right. another Hanjin happens and our cargo is stuck at sea for 30 right. days, 60 days? Right. What other ways are we going to route? What's that going to do to our costs? Are there other ways we can flow our product? So it's being able to ask those questions, look at those potential scenarios and do some upfront, analysis. I think that's, in my mind, I think that's that's an example there. So let's kind of get into some examples. I mean, you have the opportunity to work with, a lot of companies, both, via your managed services as well as your technology companies. I mean, can you share with us some examples of, how companies are putting actionable intelligence into action and what kind of, benefits are they achieving?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. And actually it's fun because the more and more we work with our customers and more we're providing them access to some additional data and some, we have a $14 billion ecosystem, right, that flows all this product and volume through. And all that data that's there then becomes the capabilities of our clients to leverage in looking at their own businesses, right? How am I benchmarking against what I have? Across the board, our clients are utilizing the actionable intelligence to benchmark themselves against the network. How well do I perform related to behaviors of management of individual, like how many loads can a load coordinator manage? How do I benchmark myself against it? What's my benchmark rate against our lean decks, right? How do I benchmark? So there's a whole component around intelligence around benchmarking, whether that be behaviors, whether that be, rate, whether that be, how's my flow of goods happening more effectively? And case by case, our clients come back to us and say, hey, can you help us figure this out? Because I think, am I not asking the right question? And if I have a dollar for every time an executive has asked me, am I not asking the right question? Which is fantastic, because what's happening then, there's a transformation in the industry, right? Everybody's looking for that next question. So, we have customers that, focused on, there's one customer that focused on really looking at accessorials and saying, I know I pay accessorials and I've had this strategy around accessorials, but how is it that the behavior of my supply chain is affecting my accessorial rates? It's not what did I negotiate for accessorial rates? It's what is the behavior of my supply chain? And then how does that, in context with other supply chains like me, how do I perform at that level? And they were able to look at the benchmarks as well as look at kind of the behavior of certain groups within their supply chain. And they drove about 4% out of their accessorials. And, accessorials are really tough because you have to budget accessorials. But it's an accessorial, right? It's a variable cost. As opposed to here's my freight rates and here's what I've done in the past. It's a little bit more variable. It's harder to put tangibility around how to manage that. And it sounds like a pretty simple example, but the reality is this is intelligence, right? This is intelligence that you're driving into your supply chain. So that's one example. And this is the same customer I'll talk about. There's another customer, same thing they did. They looked at order sizes and load configurations associated with getting the capacity that they needed, and the behaviors associated with actual orders coming in that were supposed to fit the requirements necessary to get there, right? So my loads are less optimized and less, my capacity is less utilized than it has been in the past. What's going on? Is it the load coordinator managing it ineffectively? Or is it there's order processes on the back end I need visibility into that are telling me that something's wrong? So they went through an analysis on that. They looked again at what's happening in their marketplace, built that around business intelligence, the technology helped them to develop the metrics around it, and they found out there was in some non-compliance. That drove another 5% out of their transportation costs. And then they looked, then the same customer looked at DC configurations. What do I flow? What goods do I flow one way versus what goods do I flow another way? Where do I source this and where should I source this? And what are the transportation impact that it has on that? And what should I be doing? And so they redefined kind of the flow of that, the actions around taking orders and directing orders to a certain DC or facility. And they drove another 3.5% out of their supply chain. And these are incremental steps in the process, right? So the interesting thing is, you know, customers will come to us and they'll say, yeah, I think we can save money utilizing a TMS or utilizing your MTS services. And you know, we think it's going to be 8 to 10% in year one. And then year two, we think it's 3%. And then we think there's no more savings. And that's really where actionable intelligence comes into play, because the reality is, you know, I'll use Rich Products as an example. That's one of our MTS customers. We started with them in 2005. It's not 2017. Every single year, we have come back to the table and saved them money through the course of working with them through a process of actionable intelligence, identifying opportunities based on the fluctuations of the marketplace, based on changes in their network, based on changes in the landscape of transportation or their supply chain. It changes so often that you have to identify and recalibrate to be able to continue to drive costs down and service up. We're looking at, you know, 12 years of continued savings year over year over year. That doesn't happen if you're just looking at rate negotiation. That doesn't happen if you're just looking at the low-hanging fruit. So this whole process of actionable intelligence really drives when people embrace it and understand what they need to do, be a part of an ecosystem, utilize technology to do it, work collectively and collaboratively with their carriers and their vendors and their suppliers so that they can get information and then do something with that, hire the right people, they can really drive some significant value.
Yeah, those are all, you know, great examples there. And I think you touched upon a few things that I see in the industry as well. I mean, the question, you know, it's always whether you're implementing a TMS or you're working with a 3PL, you know, the challenge has always been, well, what happens in year two? What happens in year three, right? Because everybody knows that, you know, the moment you implement the TMS, you know, to address whether they're, you know, whether you've been doing stuff manually or you haven't used optimization, you know that, you know, you're going to unlock those, you know, immediate benefits relatively quickly. Right. Same thing with, you know, when you outsource to a third-party logistics provider. And then the question becomes, you know, after that honeymoon period is over, if you will, once you kind of grab all that low-hanging fruit, you know, what happens in year two, what happens in year three? And I think, you know, the example you gave in terms of, you know, what's happening in year 12, right? And yeah. I think you know, that you really need this methodology and this approach to really continue to drive benefits, you know, on an ongoing basis. And I think part of the reality is that, you know, as we all know, is that part of the reason you need to do that and part of the reason there's always savings to be had if you're looking for it is that our networks are constantly changing, right? Our transportation networks are changing. Our sourcing networks are changing. Regulations are changing. I mean, there's always a myriad of things that are you know, tossing new realities in front of us. And, you know, through this process, you know, there's always going to be opportunities if you're asking the right questions and looking out for it. I think the other question that I have based on what you were saying, I mean, I think it's, you know, from a benchmarking standpoint, because I think that, you know, there's great opportunity there. And I think that the network approach helps facilitate that, particularly, you know, benchmarking yourself against some external, you know, a metric. But you know, there's the qualitative benchmarking and the quantitative benchmarking. How do companies go about more on the qualitative piece, right? To understand, because if you're only doing the quantitative, you know you're only getting so much information that might be helpful. But sometimes it's that qualitative piece that really provides the full picture of where the opportunities are. How does that work? I mean, how do you see companies trying to, you know, access or gain insights from a qualitative standpoint?
Sure. I think that's where the behavior piece comes in, right? So it's easy to say, let's benchmark rate, let's benchmark a metric around performance, service performance. But when you look at when you go back to looking at the behaviors of your supply chain, the prerequisite is you really have to have that connected supply chain. So you have to have all those parties engaged, and that's where a single instance multi-tenant environment provides that, you know, whatever platform you're looking at, but getting to the qualitative, what is it that it's getting me? So again, you go back to the balance of the cost and service, right? I want to make sure that I'm not affecting my service levels and that I have high customer service levels, but I'm also continuing to drive cost out in the effective way of doing that. That's the metric on the kind of back end. So when you're looking at qualitative, how is it that what my business changes happen allows me to have better vendors, allows me to have better carriers, and I'm getting the coverage and I'm getting the things I need effectively. I think it's on a customer by customer basis, it goes to the strategy of what I'm trying to deploy, how I want to approach my business, and then what are the ways that I feel like I'm effectively doing that through the use of the understanding and the kind of that wisdom that comes along with getting greater information and then making business process change. So an example is a qualitative might be, I have load coordinators that have been doing this for 25 years. Fantastic. Great. However, and they are capable of managing my freight very well. As I look at benchmarking the capabilities against the network and looking at some other metrics, and I look at the qualitative component, so from the standpoint of what is it that I think they can do versus what it is they do, how is it that I'm looking at it, and what is the cost associated and the capable cost associated with taking a strategy down the path of I need a different resource that's looking at this differently. I need to automate these processes. Or I want hands-on, and what is the cost associated with that? It's really kind of correlates to them, some of the qualitative stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think another area, that could play a role here, and maybe this is a little bit more, moving forward into the future, because I don't think it's quite there yet. And this will kind of bring our conversation now toward technology, is social networking, right? I think there's a lot of opportunity, particularly in a network-based environment where, those individuals and companies that want to share insights and qualitative information with one another, via a social networking platform that resides on the network, I think that's an untapped opportunity that I think will help facilitate, the further learning and sharing of intelligence between companies. I don't think we're quite there yet. I think, the likes of LinkedIn and groups, I think, are kind of fallen short. But I think in a private environment like your network and those of your peers, you can help facilitate that exchange of knowledge and information between peers in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, you've been to Client Connect, a number of years, and getting our customers together and sharing that physically in front of each other and getting in a collaborative sense, but. You're right. The social component of a network-based platform allows for a lot of that. So quantitative and qualitative capabilities around carriers. I'm getting a good carrier, and what's the feedback from the rest of the network? Right? How is it that I look at? They may be a lower cost carrier, and they say they have the capacity, but what is the delivery? Was their performance really provide me in making some determination? And is that who I want to deal with?
Right, right. Yeah, I think a lot of untapped potential there in terms of leveraging some of the things that all of us experience in the B2C world terms of reading reviews, in terms of sharing information with one another, whether it's around products or services. I think those are opportunities in the B2B world as well. So let's talk about technology now. I mean, what is, how is technology enabling, actionable intelligence? And what are some of the most, important capabilities that companies should look for from a technology standpoint?
Sure. I think that you want to look at, you want to start by getting a platform in place, right? So you want to be part of something that's greater than what you are. And that goes to the mindset of, if I get into an environment where I'm utilizing technology that's part of a platform that's larger than my own nature, I have the ability then to look outside of the four walls of my organization, which is a classic challenge for many companies when they just buy a business process technology. And so as you look at what you want to deploy, how you want to deploy it, it starts with getting to be a part of an ecosystem and the technology that's necessary to get at the information. The way we've always approached it is we've had a platform of technology that we put software on top, business process software on top to enable customers to manage their business processes more effectively, right? But software is all about, software has always been about efficiency and optimization. And really what software now is evolving to is data and intelligence. And so you need to have a platform that can actually get you to that data and intelligence level by executing all that you do on a daily basis, right? Combining all the parts and being enabled by an ecosystem.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, for many years, I've always seen parallels between what's happening in the software and technology industry and what's happening in the 3PL industry, right? And you know, over the years, there's been a lot of merging between those two industries. I mean, that's been one trend. But what you just said right now, I think it's happening in the 3PL industry right now. You kind of talked about, you know, software, you know, always being about, you know, process efficiency and optimization. And now kind of what the leading value proposition is about, you know, the information, the intelligence that it provides you to help you make smarter decisions faster, exactly. Right? And yeah. I think I've written about this past, you know, over the past couple of years, the same thing has happened on the 3PL front, right? It used to be about, hey, Mr. 3PL, help us, you know, move our loads and help us store our product. And really the value proposition is starting to flip there as well, where it's now also about the 3PL providing, you know, the data, the intelligence, the information to help them, right. You know, help their customers make, you know, smarter decisions faster. So I think across the board, it seems like this value proposition around actionable intelligence is kind of spanning across both the software side as well as the logistics service provider front. A lot of the data that underpins, you know, actionable intelligence resides, you know, in many different trading partners, as we talked about, right? You know, you've got 3PLs, you've got carriers, you've got suppliers, you've got customers and other trading partners. I mean, the challenge historically has been, you know, integrating or, being able to get that information from all these, you know, the diverse set of parties in a timely and reliable manner. I mean, how do you go about, I mean, is the challenge of integrating these parties and getting, you know, and exchanging information easier today than in the past? And how do you continue to, you know, ensure the quality of the data? Because at the end of the day, right, you don't want to get in the situation where it's, you know, you're taking actionable intelligence on faulty data, then your the actions you're taking are faulty, you know, as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's really a fascinating and an exciting aspect of you know, being a platform ourselves, right? So fortunately, we've been doing it in this type of business model for the last 17 years, and most organizations are now trying to morph into that. And it creates a difficulty in it. The beauty is that it is easily connected. It's a connected network. And so if you look at the technologies that are available today and the business processes that are available today, we're finding more and more connectivity that can be replicated. So, you know, there's vendors out there that are integrating, you know, with the telematics systems and then aggregating that data and then integrating back into our platform. So we're getting greater data directly from the source point at its most accurate level as much as we possibly can, which, you know, 5-10 years ago, that was a pipe dream, right? SaaS single instance multi-tenant 15 years ago was a pipe dream that, you know, we had to wave a flag for. The reality is this is the way information is continuing to flow. So you have that kind of information. You also have, you know, the evolutions of mobile devices in today's environment where you know, you directly to the carrier, right directly to the driver, they're able to communicate back to our technology through a mobile device. That you could do real-time information, you can get directives right off of the GPS locations from the application, and it gives you a lot of information. So the level of information and the mechanisms by which we're getting information into the network, you know, has increased dramatically. Then taking that information and putting context around it is the continued next evolution, right? We're getting information in that sometimes we'll look at it and go, well, what is that telling us? What do we think it's telling us? Now, fortunately, as, you know, a provider of services as well, we're hand in hand looking at our supply chain, what we're managing on behalf of our customer, and asking those questions as well. And so we're able to kind of look at you know, the different types of technologies that are available to us, the type of different types of connectivity that's available to us, and trying to continue to enhance that. Our development, our R&D, is focused on these types of developments, right? It's less about, and you know, my software peers will kill me, but it's less about what is your optimization and more about what are you optimizing and does it make sense to optimize that? You know, the traditional, you know, you heard for years and years and years, well, yeah, we use an optimizer, but we have to reconfigure 80% of it. Well, that doesn't really mean that it's doing anything then. You know, it's automated some things. And that's less about business process optimization. And it's more about how do I get data and intelligence out of my supply chain because I'm doing those things. That's almost a prerequisite now that you've got all the business process optimization capabilities in your network.
Yeah, no, you know, interesting points there. And you know, I've been a long time proponent of network-based, you know, platforms for a lot of the reasons you talked about, and particularly from the ability to, again, bring all these parties together and have that data flowing into a common network to drive some of these insights. I mean, do you see companies, I guess to put it bluntly, you know, finally getting it, you know, in terms of the power of the network or the kind of the, you know, the opportunities that are available as part of being part of a network? Or are some companies still coming to it and saying, you know what, we just need a TMS and we don't want to be behind our four walls. We're just looking for the, you know, the quicker, you know, the kind of the value proposition of SaaS, right, that a lot of folks have talked about, which is, you know, faster deployment, you know, more recurring payments as opposed to big license deal, which are important, you know, value propositions, but it doesn't really speak to, you know, joining the network and really moving in that direction because of the actionable intelligence capabilities and the network effect and so on and so forth. Companies still driven to it mainly because it's a faster deployment and lower cost and not really seeing the power? Or are companies finally beginning to see the potential of what being part of a network can provide?
Yeah, I think you're from a marketplace perspective, I think people are starting to get the actionable intelligence piece. When we sit down with them, when we walk them through why is it that we do this, SaaS isn't, you know, it's frustrating being a SaaS company for 17 years and people looking at SaaS as a financing model, right? It's not. SaaS, single instance multi-tenant, is a business enabler through its existence, right? So, you know, there are companies that are looking for transportation solutions. And when they come in, the mindset might be that I like SaaS because of the deployment mechanism, right? The financing model behind it, the easy integration, that type of thing. But when it comes down to it, the value that they truly see is being a part of the ecosystem that then they can leverage beyond, so to speak, the four walls of their organization. And, you know, we see more and more that are coming to us because they're looking at our model, and they're looking at the model and saying, I need something more than just what I have to manage, and I need some assistance in doing that. And so that's where I think you see that the evolutional thinking of the marketplace is continuing to grow. I would say, though, that we're at the front end of that as opposed to the tail end of that. You know, for years we talked about why SaaS, and now no one's talking about why SaaS. Everybody wants to be SaaS. Okay, now it's why is it actionable intelligence, and where's that value, and how does my ecosystem fit in the overall ecosystem? You know, one element that I always tell our customers, because sometimes they don't, you know, they just might not have that mindset or the view of that from our perspective, right, is that this transportation specifically is a massive dysfunctional process of moving freight within the globe. A lot of providers, nobody has biggest market share. It's very disparate as it relates to getting solution sets around and providers. And so everybody feels like they're like transportation is from their mind's eye. And when we find that customers can look at it and say, okay, I'm part of a grander transportation ecosystem, and say I'm part of a lean logistics ecosystem, that's $14 billion in spend. What's my participation in that ecosystem? And then how do I function well in that to allow me to ultimately function well and drive lower cost and better service? when you look at it from the perspective of every, that ecosystem serves me as opposed to what's my participation in it, dramatically different. And that's a bit of a mindset evolutional change that is happening, but it's not probably happening as quickly as I would think it would.
Yeah, I mean, I think it ties back to what we talked about before in terms of, it begins with that mindset, you know, changing that mindset. And I know it's been a long educational process. You know, certainly I've been beating the drum myself from the industry analyst world for 10 plus years, if not more. But I think I agree. I think more and more companies are, beginning to ask that question, beginning to take that perspective. We're running short on time here, so I just have a couple of more questions. For those of you that are joining us live, just want to remind you that if you do have a question for Chris, now would be the time to ask it. So let's talk about the people side, and obviously a very important, component in all of this. I mean, do logistics, transportation, supply chain professionals need new skills and new training, in order to implement and get the most value from this actionable intelligence approach?
You know, the default answer to that is yes. But we need to take it a little bit deeper, right? So when you look at, you and I started in this space in the early 90s, and when we were talking in the early 90s, it was talk about materials management, right? Things like that, and transportation and trucking. I don't hear anybody say trucking anymore. But going back to what I said earlier, that transportation in its nature is an executional component of the supply chain, right? We're executing. We connect the participants in the supply chain, and we execute. As you move forward and you take on a mentality of actionable intelligence, you need resources that are a little bit more, what I would say is, critical thinkers that think tactically strategic, which is kind of an oxymoron, but it's actually it's a tangible thought process, right? I need to be looking at the decisions I'm making today. How is that affecting what really we're executing against? And then how can I evaluate whether or not those decisions should be made moving forward? Some of the things we've built into our technology using LeanDex is we can see trends. When somebody tenders a load, they can see the trends of the rates that are happening within that particular lane rate, which immediately draws them into thinking more strategically than really, really tactically. So there's an evolution of kind of some thought processes there. And so you're looking for people maybe a little bit differently than you had in the past. Fortunately, supply chain is a ever increasing curriculum across the board. I mean, academia has really embraced supply chain management in a new way. And we partner with a number of different universities. But the reality is when they come out of the university and they're starting to execute the business, one of the things that we look for and when we're hiring load coordinators or even developers is, we talk about five non-negotiables we've kind of defined of our business. And I won't go into all of them, but there's two of them that are really, really critical for us when we're evaluating resources, whether they've been in the industry 25 years or they've been in the industry a year and a half, right? And two of those critical areas are in creativity. Are you a creative thinker? Can you think outside of what somebody's been executing? We don't mind, even in a very linear type of process within the supply chain, if you have a non-linear thought process, because that means you're thinking critically and you're allowing yourself to not necessarily be caught up in just doing the same thing each time. The other is having a quick and agile mind. So with everything that happens within supply chain, things happen so quickly. You need a good processor. You need the Intel processor that's at its ultimate, right? And that's what we look for in our people. And that's part of the five non-negotiables. Those are two of them that are really critical. When we sit down in front of somebody and we're trying to understand, are they going to be successful for Lean? They have to have a quick and agile mind, and they have to be creative. And so in those two characteristics, we really see that evolution of capabilities than really traditionally saying, okay, I schedule loads, I call the location, I get an appointment, I tender to the carrier, and I've done my job. And we need greater, deeper, and more evolved thinking than kind of the traditional processes. So, yeah, skill sets we find across the board, But the interesting aspect of it is skill sets across the board don't necessarily correlate to size of company. Some of the smaller companies we deal with have amazingly intelligent supply chain managers, and some of the larger companies may be more traditional in their nature as well. So it's not really indicative of size of company, but it's really the evolution of where they are in their supply chain.
Great. I love those two non-negotiables. I think we could probably spend the whole episode just talking about that and diving in deeper on the people side of things. But you know, we're kind of out of time here, so I'm just going to go, you know, right to my last question. You know, it's kind of a way to wrap up, Chris. I mean, what questions should supply chain executives and logistics professionals, you know, ask themselves to, you know, assess, you know, where they are today in terms of enabling actionable intelligence and to kind of determine, you know, what steps they should take next?
Sure. Yeah. I think, you know, the first question is you're going to ask yourself is, how well am I doing? You know, how well is my supply chain managed today? And then the quick follow-up question on that is, how do I know, right? I can say, yeah, I'm doing well. I've negotiated really great rates. All my vendors are, you know, really controlled. They do a good job for me. But how do I know? How do I really know I'm doing well? So those are kind of the two core questions. I think, the next question is based on that, how can I get smarter about my supply chain? What are the questions that I am not asking that I think I should be asking? You know, how is it that I really, how is it that I can know that? But also, what am I not paying attention to that I probably should, right? So it's easy to get caught in your own organization and really focus on the things that you've always told yourself that you need to measure. But what questions am I asking that I shouldn't? Second is, do I have the right resources? Do I have the right resources in place to really effectively manage my supply chain in a very intelligent way, leveraging data, leveraging information, evaluating and analyzing my business, not just from a metric perspective, but an implications perspective. If I do this, then this happens. And then ultimately, do I have the platform to do it? Do I have a platform of technology and capabilities that give me access to the things I need to evolve my supply chain in a very effective way? I may be managing costs really well, and I may be my service levels are good, but ultimately, if I don't know and I can't justify that to myself, how do I truly know my supply chain's doing well? Because I'll tell you, it's going to get more complex. There are more complexities that are hitting our marketplace on an annual basis, and it's coming faster. You know, there are driverless vehicles. There's, you know, omni-channel. Again, make the list of all of the challenges that we have and that we're dealing with. It's happening, and it's happening very quickly. So I got to be smarter tomorrow than I am today, and I need to be able to get there. And so that would be my recommendation, that supply chain leaders are looking at their business that way.
Yeah, great set of questions. And I think, like I always say at the end of all our episodes, you know, we always just manage to scratch the surface on these topics. But I think we addressed a lot of, you know, key elements of actionable intelligence and certainly got the conversation started. And hopefully the wheel's turning in for those that have joined us today. So Chris, thank you again, you know, for making the time to be with us today.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. I enjoyed the conversation. Anytime we can talk about actionable intelligence and what's happening in the future, that's always fun to do.
Great, great. And I want to thank those of you that joined us live today. We didn't get any questions live, but if you are watching this episode on demand and you do have a question for Chris, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com and you can post a question or a comment there. And I'm sure that Chris will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So again, thank you all for joining us today and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.